So this is supposed to be the Halloween episode. And hopefully it records all this. But,
Well, I mean, I see the red button, so...
It says it's recording.
Okay. It definitely does. Does it? Because I know this is a free thing.
Right. Is it going to charge me at the end?
Is it going to cut off at some point?
Right. Well, it said 4 hours. It said I had 4 hours.
Oh, okay. We'll be fine.
Yeah. So, just in case, you know, let's maybe aim for 2. But,
okay. So. Maybe it was that digital STI or whatever.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Digital herpes.
It's like, proceed with caution. And I'm like, what kind of caution? I'm talking to a fucking computer right now.
Just keep your mouth off the microphone, Karen.
All right. I'll try and contain myself.
Okay, so for the Halloween episode, I thought you would be the absolute perfect guest, having done hair in a funeral home. And I'm like, what do you call that? Like a mortician, beautician? Like,
yeah, I've used that term before. I've used the my dad actually was like really proud of me when I entered the funeral home haircutting industry, which I don't think it's an industry. I just started doing it. But he was like, oh, okay, because my dad's like this little Jewish dad from New York. And he's like, oh my gosh, Karen, we should make business cards that can be like Karen's Cadaver's Cuts. You know?
Cadaver.
And I was like, yeah. I was like, and he was like, and it could be like KK. And I was like, Dad, it's like KK Karen. Like, we're Jewish. I can't fucking do that.
Oh, yeah.
Mortician, beautician,
deadhead.
I didn't even think about that one. Yeah, that's good one.
I use deadhead products.
Yeah, there wasn't a technical name for it, but like, you know, with your cosmetology license, you have a license to like touch whoever. So if you have your, mortician license, that gives you, you know, you can embalm bodies and like do all that, which I'm a tiny human if anybody's ever met me, so there's like no way I'm like lifting up a body no matter what. So there was no need for me to get that license, but my cosmetology license covered everything.
So how'd you get that gig?
So I had a client, and he owned a funeral home, and I was always curious about it. Like, the second I started doing hair, I knew I couldn't just stay behind the chair, but I knew, you know, I'm not going to do fucking New York Fashion Week or any. I'm just like, I can't fuck with that. I'm just like, that's just not me. It's just not my scene. I get so stressed out with hair like pretty easily, and I think I would probably have a heart attack. Like, I hate doing updos because I just get too stressed out. I think too much about stuff. But I knew that there was good money in fucking with dead people, because most people don't want to. So I just asked him one day when I was cutting his hair. I was like, hey, like, I'm kind of curious about this. And what most people don't know is that most funeral homes are owned by the same company, and that company is called Dignity. So you can see a funeral home and it's like, you know, Smith and Company or whatever, but then on top it'll say like Dignity. And so they actually have a monopoly on funeral homes. So there's not a whole lot of independent funeral homes. So this guy owned his own funeral home alongside. And he used to work for Dignity, which I'm pretty sure everybody in the industry, the funeral home industry, used to work for Dignity, because it's kind of like the Regis, I guess.
It's like the Walmart, you know? Of...
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, people don't know that. And so I just told him, I was like, hey, I'm kind of interested in that. So, you know, if you ever need any help, just like let me know. And he was like, okay, definitely. And so at the time he was married, and his wife would style the hair and do the makeup. So one time his, it wasn't his business partner, but next door to his funeral home was another funeral home. And by the way, if I do end up dropping the name, if you can harmonica over it, that would be fantastic.
Of course.
So next door to his funeral home was a Jewish funeral home. And us Jews are a little crazy about how, you know, after death anyway,
right.
Because there's no embalming.
It has to be kosher.
It has to be very kosher. It has to happen very fast. And it was, both these funeral homes were like within a couple miles of where I lived. So I was, and they would give me like, you know, like, hey, can you come sometime between right now and tomorrow at 3, you know?
Yeah.
So it was flexible. So anyway, one time I get a call and the Jewish funeral home owner needed a haircut for one of his clients, patients, bodies. I don't know what the fuck you want to call it. And and so I, you know, and at this point I'm like, I haven't ever cut a dead person's hair or even touched a dead person. I mean, I've been to open caskets, but I've never touched a dead body, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I think I can handle it, but you don't know unless you just try it out.
That's huge.
So,
that's a big thing.
Right? Yeah. And so I just was like, all right, you got this, you know. And so I went, and it was an old man. And thankfully, you know, because typically in open caskets, they're laying down. I don't think I've ever heard of a funeral home where they prop up the body and he's just like in a chair, like, hey, guys, what's up? Yeah. So he was laying down. And so he was mostly bald on the top. So I really just had to kind of just trim him up a little bit, like around the ears and just a little bit up top. But he's laying down, so I didn't have to mess with anything in the back. And it took me like no time at all.
Yeah.
And I got like $75 for it, and I was like, oh yeah,
that's
like,
not bad.
I can put up with a lot of shit for $75 for, you know, 15 minutes of work that I literally had to drag out, you know, for 15 minutes because I didn't want it to be like 60 seconds, which is what it should have taken me.
Yeah.
But I was like, I'm getting this much money. Like, I don't know. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right. You got to at least pretend
yeah,
for
like,
5 minutes.
Yeah, I have to like act like I'm working. But I was like, dude, I don't, like, this is fine with me. Like, I'm not weirded out. Like, whatever.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, was there ever a time when it was uncomfortable?
Yeah.
Or, I mean, I'm guessing like natural causes isn't uncomfortable.
No.
But if you're having to.
Yeah.
But chances are it'll be closed casket.
Yeah, that's what you would think. Probably, I mean, I don't know if you like, so I have like a few stories, but I'll say like, I don't know if I want to tell like the most depressing one because it was, well, I'll just like say it was the next client, I guess, that I got from the funeral home was a little boy, and it was an accident, not like a car accident, but he was playing the choking game with himself.
No way.
Yeah. And so he died because he accidentally, you know, choked himself. And so, and I cut his hair for the funeral. And so that was obviously, I mean, well, not obviously, but that was definitely the most tragic situation that I've ever done that for. And even though I was getting paid for all these gigs, it felt like service work because the funeral home workers, as a mortician, you go through school and you learn certain things about hair and makeup, but you don't learn them to the extent that we learn them in school or in a salon. You know, it's like they don't learn how to cut hair. They don't learn how to, like, I mean, I had done numerous old ladies, you know, that had died from natural causes. And, you know, I was plucking out their mustache hairs and stuff that, like, the dudes that work, they're like, you know, they don't even fucking think about it. I'm like, yo, this lady definitely does not want a mustache. Like, I'll tell you that much, you know, like, I'm going to pluck out all her whiskers and her eyebrows looking crazy. Like, I mean,
get them looking good.
Yeah. And I never tried to make them look young, you know, because in my, like, because most of us have seen somebody in an open casket. And usually, what do we think? Like, they don't look like themselves. They just don't.
Yeah, it's usually way too much makeup.
Yeah, and it's because their skin is weird, especially if they've been embalmed. And if they haven't, they've been in a freezer. So I just would try my best to just make them look natural. So, like, I wouldn't use, like, heavy makeup. I just would try and take some of the shine out and pluck out their mustache, you know, do a curling iron in their hair and whatever. So, and of course, I would get the picture of what the family would want them to look like. And it would be a picture from, like, you know, whenever they were healthy, like 20 years ago. And I'm like, okay, like, it's not going to happen.
They don't have the same hair.
Yeah. It's like, they don't have the same hair if they even have legit hair, you know, and they're, you know, and it's, they have to, like, typically, like, super glue their lips shut and their eyeballs shut. I mean, it's not pretty. You know, it's not like we get the body and it's like, oh, okay, like, let me just, you know, do a little bit here. And it's like, no, like, their fucking eyes want to do one thing, their mouth wants to do another. And you're like,
really?
Yeah, it's not like super difficult, but it's shit that you just don't think about with, like, what happens to a body when they die. Like, it's like, oh God.
What happens? What happens to eyes when they die?
So, I don't know what actually happens to, like, the eyeballs, but most of the time, like, their mouths end up kind of naturally opening up, and so do their eyes, but their eyes, like, aren't, like, you don't really see their pupils. It's not that they're totally rolled back in the back of their head. They're just kind of, like, lingering. I don't know how to explain it. So there would be times where I'd be, like, trying to, like, hustle and finish, and I'd be, like, putting, like, a little bit, like, shimmer on, like, somebody's eye, and, like, it would, like, start to open up a little bit, and I'd be like, no, shut it down, you know? But I do have a couple of stories that are pretty good that I set aside specifically for this podcast.
Let's hear them.
Okay, so, all right, let me look.
I thought that those were the stories.
No, I have, like, very particular stories. So, okay. Both of them are super strange. Well, I have, like, three, actually. Well, I have more than that, but these are the ones that I, like, put down. Okay. So, when, you know that saying, if you have an inch, take a mile, or whatever, that was so fucking true in this industry. And, like, if you think fucking doing hair, you see, like, the worst of humanity, trust me. Do some work at a funeral home and listen to people's requests for their family, and you will have no faith in humanity. You'll be like, these people are fucked up. So, so I would get a couple of, so, okay. There was a couple of times where one of the funeral home owners was like, hey, can you color this person's hair? And I had to think about it, because I was like, okay, well, what's gonna happen? Like, I can't talk to this person, they can't tell me what's been done to their hair, I can't, you know, like, like, all that. And so I decided that if they had their loved one's color, you know, so, like, let's say they use box color, you know, like,
right,
4 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever, then I would do it. So they would have to supply me the color, or if they knew the exact formula and I could go get it at, you know, usually it was Sally's if I had to get it, like, it was not professional. And I would obviously charge significantly more. And there was a myth that I heard somewhere, I don't think it was in school, that you know, like hair color processes because of the heat of your head.
And I know that I've heard it processes differently at like different rates.
Yeah. So I thought, like, okay, so this person doesn't have blood flow, so there's no heat coming off their body. So, like, I don't know if the color is going to take. Turns out that it takes the same. Like, permanent hair color is permanent hair color. Like, same with, like, your mannequin. You know what I mean? So, like, I don't know why I didn't connect those dots. But anyway, so I decided that.
Mm-hmm. Well, like, highlights. The highlights, would they process differently because of the heat or just because it's new growth?
I guess it would just depend on if there were chemicals or color already on the hair, you know? Yeah. So, like, obviously, you know, like, if you do, like, a highlight and you put a blow dryer over the foil, obviously it's going to, like, process faster because it's just, like, breaking through that cuticle.
Yeah. But I'm assuming you weren't doing highlights.
No. Oh, my God. No. That would have been a whole nother animal. And that's the thing, too, is that, like, the requests that I got for color and nails, like, literally, like, somebody's fucking nails. Like, it just...
Do you even,
like,
see nails?
You don't have to. And that's the thing. It's like, they can... There's, like, a little cover, and they can just put their damn hands underneath it.
Yeah. Like, that's weird.
Who the fuck goes to a open casket viewing or funeral and is like, yo, that bitch's nails look fly? Never. Nobody's talking about that.
Now that you say that, I'm not convinced that there aren't people doing that.
Oh, there are. That's the thing. Yeah. Apparently. Yeah. Yeah. Which is why I got weird requests. So there's one time where the funeral home director asked me, like, hey, so this person wants their person's hair color, can you do it? And I was like, yeah, if they got the color, I can do it. Because we would do it on a gurney that was kind of slanted, and I was in the room that did the embalming, and so there was a hose that came out of the ceiling. And then, so after the hair color processed, I had shampoo, like I did shampoo and conditioner, like all that, and I had somebody, like, lift the head as I was using the hose and shampooing them. So one time, and I would, like, go in through the basement and through the back. So there was only really one time where I ended up talking to the family, which that's another story I have listed, because that was not intentional, because kind of like the agreement was I didn't have to deal with the family. Like, they told me what to do. They gave me a picture. I did the best that I could do and that could be done. And that was that. I never talked to the family. So
you wanted to keep it that way?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, yeah. I just, you know, I didn't, because as a hairdresser, obviously I want to make people happy. The loved one with their requests, they're grieving. They have shit going on, you know, whatever. The people that worked at the funeral home knew how to deal with that. I didn't know how to deal with that.
Right.
Like, I knew how to handle, you know, the task, but I, you know, of course, if somebody's talking to me about how they want their loved one to look like, I'm going to be like, yes, 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 of course, I'll do whatever it takes, you know? And I would, but I'm like, oh, I just don't want that kind of connection. And so somebody had seen me, like, walk in and out, because the color had to process for like 45 minutes or whatever, and had asked the funeral home director, like, hey, what is she doing? And he was like, oh, she's, you know, our hairdresser, and she's coloring somebody's hair. And so a lot of the times when I was doing somebody's hair, there was another body, like, you know, covered up or laying there, because it was in this big room. And so that person was like, oh my God. And their husband had just died. And that was the person that was next to the dude, or I don't remember if it was a male or female, that I was letting the color process. And she was like, oh my God.
So you were double booked.
I got a walk in at a funeral home and got double booked at a funeral home. I made more money that night than I will probably ever make in that short amount of time. Because the funeral home director was like, hey, so like no pressure and it's okay if you want to say no, but she, you know, asked about you and saw that you were doing that. So she ran home to get the color. Can you do it? And I was like, absolutely. So I got double booked, a walk-in dead person. And so that was probably the weirdest. Yeah, it was like a what the fuck is happening? But I was
you're
really
very popular. You're a very popular stylist.
Yeah, like I was like, I can put you on my wait list, but yeah, it was, so that was pretty intense. So yeah, and what I said at the beginning when so the funeral home director originally was married, and so his wife was taking care of the styling and all that, but they gotten divorced after like a year of me starting to do cuts there. And so after that, I was pretty much the main person that was doing the styling and the color and the makeup and the cuts. So if it was something that they couldn't handle as dudes that only had, you know, mortician experience, if they thought that, you know, the client was going to be a little too difficult, then they would call me and be like, all right, Karen, like, we need you to like, make her hair look good. Like, so I started to get pretty busy.
Yeah, head honcho.
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, I loved it because it was a niche and there weren't a lot of independent funeral homes in Atlanta because of Dignity, because they literally own everything.
Well, do they have their specific stylists that they work with or something?
No, I think that they just train their employees to be able to do that. And because it's a monopoly, I think I'm using that word correctly anyway. Like they have a lot of females that work for them too. So, but these two funeral homes are like no females. So they didn't have the woman's touch. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they didn't know to pluck out the whiskers, shit like that.
Right.
So, yeah. Yeah, so it was a trip, man.
Okay, but so yeah, so you were really busy.
Yeah, really busy. So I was also like working at a salon. I was also like, for the last, well, I don't remember how long, for 8 months, I was interning at the morning show, the regular guys, rest in peace. but yeah, so I mean, there are days where like I would wake up and I wouldn't even know what day it was. And I would just start going. I'd be like, okay, I'll figure it out in like an hour when I'm already, because I would just feel like, all right, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, you know, doing this dead person's hair later, waking up at 4 a.m. and then just kind of doing it all over again. It was crazy.
What a side hustle.
Dude, it was quite the side hustle. I know, I thought about like trying to do it here in Austin too, but because I still have all my tools, because there are the definite like regulations are the second that you use a tool on a dead person, you're not supposed to use it on somebody that's alive.
What? So,
yeah. So
that's weird.
And so I don't know if that has to do with like haircutting shears, but I did still have my shears that were, you know, from school and stuff like that. And again, I'm only dealing with what you can see when you're laying down. So it's not that serious.
Yeah.
And obviously, like, you know, I know how to sanitize and everything, but I did kind of like to keep it separate anyway. But so, yeah, so that was what I was told when I was doing it, was whatever you touch something to a dead person, it has to stay to dead people. And I was like, well, honestly, it's kind of easier that way. So that way I don't have
It's kind of what? You're breaking up.
It's easier that way. Can you hear me?
Yeah. I'm wondering, you might be breaking up because are you moving a lot or?
I was moving my hands. But now I'm staying still.
You've been kind of like going in and out, and it's not like an
what?
Issue. Yeah. And
can you hear me now?
Yeah. Well, like, yeah. It's like, it's very, it's like, you know, the digitized In-N-Out where it sounds like you're a robot. Like,
yeah, that's been happening with YouTube.
Oh, really? Oh, well, hopefully it's not recording like that.
I mean, probably, but whatever.
Oh, yeah, whatever.
Whatever. But yeah, weird shit at the funeral home.
So, did you have any other stories at the funeral home?
I will tell the last story of the funeral home gigs. That, like, the very last one that I did that I think is probably a few months before I moved to Austin. I got a request to do this lady's hair, like style her hair. She was an old lady, died of natural causes, and do her makeup. But they wanted her nails fire engine stop sign red, like red as fuck nails. Okay. And I told the director, like, I was like, okay, I will go to Walmart, Sally's, whatever. I was like, I'll find the most red press-ons that I could find, but I am not painting nails. No. I don't even paint my own fucking nails. You know what I mean?
I'm not sure. I mean, why is that an issue? I don't know.
What?
Doing the nails.
I'm telling you, this is the family. The families are fucking crazy with their requests. They like, and so I go and I'm like, I'm 100% on any job that I have, like 100%.
Yeah.
Like I'll show up on time. I'll come so fucking correct. So I go to Walmart, I go to Target, like, and I'm trying to find the most red press-ons I could find. And the most red is like a maroon red. It's not stop sign red.
Uh-oh.
But I'm like, whatever. This is just going to have to do, you know?
Okay.
And I sent a picture to the director. I'm like, this is the best red I got. He's like, oh, I'm sure it's fine, whatever. So anyway, so I go to do the hair, makeup, and the nails. And I don't even fucking do nails. Like, I haven't done somebody's nails since fucking beauty school, and that was stupid. Yeah, you know, that's just to
since you're state bored.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, no, yeah. I don't fucking do that shit. So, see this old lady. I look at her hands. This bitch has fucking French tip acrylics. Like, she doesn't even have red nails. So oh, I'm like, why the fuck? Her daughter want her to have, you know, stop sign red nails. Like,
this, that's weird,
ridiculous, right? So yeah. It's like usually the family's request. Like, the dead person doesn't give a fuck, man. Yeah. They don't give a fuck. They're like, put me away. Let's be done with this. Stop fucking with me. That's probably what they're thinking and saying. So I style her hair. I do her makeup. Pluck out her mustache. Whatever. And I trim her nails because they're long and her nails are fucking nasty. Like, it's like she hasn't gotten them done in like a month at least, but they're like acrylics and shit. And so they're like split. Like, they just look like not healthy.
Oh.
For any human. Or doesn't matter if she's dead or not. Like, shit look nasty as hell. So, so I fucking go to cut the nail. And she starts bleeding.
Oh, what?
Not a lot, but a little. So I guess when you get embalmed, you know, like, you're so puffy, you're kind of just like, I don't know, you're just puffy. I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah.
But you have like blood in you. It's just not flowing. I don't know.
Like, not fully flushed. Maybe
it would, I guess. And because I don't know. I guess. Yeah, I guess she wasn't fully flushed. But I was able to, like, stop the bleeding, like, pretty... Because when you're kind of, like, I don't know, as a hairdresser and as a human, like, when you see something like that, but, you, like, you kind of want to fix it yourself before you ask for help, because you just, you don't want to, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway, she stopped bleeding eventually, and it wasn't like a flood of blood or anything like that. But I had to, you know, like file her nail down and like put her press-ons on, and they were not stop sign red. They looked fake as hell. Like, I mean, the fakest shit you've ever seen. But I just was like, this is as good as it's gonna get.
Like Halloween claws.
Yeah. Like witch whatever. Claws. You know, like this is it. Like, I don't, like, you're lucky I even got this far, because I fucking tried. Yeah. And yeah, it was fine. Turns out. Oh, I mean,
they didn't say anything.
No, they didn't. And I rarely got feedback. So in that industry, it's like no news is good news. So the feedback that I did get for a couple of times, which made me like feel really good, was that when I did the hair and makeup, the family was going to have it closed casket and decided to have it open casket because I made it look that good.
Really?
And that just, yeah, so that warmed my heart, because I'm not a stylist. Like, I don't fuck with that fashion week bullshit. You know what I mean? Oh,
that's right.
And I think, like, I just, and it's because I stress out too much. So, like, when it came to doing what we do on a dead person and knowing that, yes, I have a time limit, yes, they have to be ready at a certain time, but also I can take my time, because where the fuck else are they gonna go? Nowhere. They're staying right here in this fucking coffin. So if I need to start over, yeah, exactly. I don't have to fucking sell them retail. I don't have to pre-book them. I don't have to fucking, you know. So it was great. I would listen to music while I was doing it. It was awesome. Like, I really did. I made sure that everybody looked as good as I could make them look. Now, sure, somebody, of course, could have maybe done a better job, whatever. But I did my fucking best, and that's all that counted. And it made me feel good. Even though I was getting paid, it felt like charity, because I know that most people would fucking vomit or faint over half the shit I had to fucking deal with.
Oh, so, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could.
It was good. I know, and you don't know unless you try. And, you know, it was a trip for sure. But I'm so grateful that I did it, because what people, you know, in this industry, it's like you don't have to be stuck behind a chair, you know? It's like you can do a million. I mean, you know that more than anybody, Chris. Yeah. You can do so much. Hair is everywhere. It's with every human. It's everything.
Yeah, there's so many outlets.
Seriously, it's like you can do it anywhere in the world. It's a universal language. Like, it's amazing.
Yeah,
you know,
it is really so cool.
Yeah,
sometimes,
damn right, it's fucking awesome. Yeah, and you take the bitter with the sweet, and yeah, that's why you get paid.
Yeah,
you know, because if it was just amazing all the time, then you just wouldn't even have to get paid, but you have to deal with some shit. So.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's what you make it, you know?
Damn right. Yeah. What is that? Joe Dirt?
Joe Dirtay?
I'm as what you make it. You want to see homeboys naked?
Never. I don't think that was Joe Dirt.
No, it is Joe Dirt. It's like, he's talking to some redneck without any teeth, and he's trying to say, like, home is what you make it. And then Joe Dirtay thought that he said, you want to see homeboys naked.
How do I not remember?
I think
that?
I'm getting that joke right.
I love that.
Oh man, it's classic. That should be the intro, that little clip. I'm gonna pull it up and send it to
home
you.
Home is what you make it. You want to see homeboys naked?
Oh. Yeah. Exactly. Honestly, homeboys naked. I'm going to find that shit. Yeah, you like to see, homos naked. That's what it is. You like to see homos naked? That's what it is.
How did I forget that?
Oh, dude, Joe Dirt is like the best movie
that
ever.
That was seriously one of my favorites.
It should be. It should be like I don't want to know the person that doesn't like Joe Dirt because they're no friend of mine.
It was totally underrated.
So underrated. Oh my god, what a fucking amazing movie.
It was a masterpiece.
Like, so yeah, masterpiece is the understatement of the year. For sure. Excuse me.
There it is.
There it is. The little box of wine coming out. Boda Box. Shout out to Boda Box, Nighthawk Black, Big Dark, and Jammy. Whoop whoop.
Maybe we can get a sponsorship. Box wine.
Yeah. Girl can dream. Girl can dream.
Mm. Well, do you have any like scary stories from the funeral home?
Scary. So let's see. There was, okay, I'm trying to think like scary. Okay, there was one time that it didn't really have to do with me doing hair. I was doing hair there, but I was like doing somebody's hair. I don't even remember whose it was. Like it was like a normal, like, all right, like curling iron, fluff it up, make them look natural, whatever. And there was another body in the room and they were covered. So like normally like they were covered like with a sheet, like head to toe, but this person's like foot was hanging out. Huh. And I noticed that their skin color was like green. And by green, I'm talking Ninja Turtle green.
Oh.
And this person was huge, like over 6 feet, which is probably why their foot was hanging out. And so I like asked the funeral home director, I was like, yo, like what is going on there? Like I cannot like not act like that's not happening right there. And yeah. Like the goddamn zombie right there, like you know. Like it was fucking weird. Like I mean they were so green, like you couldn't tell if they were black or white. I mean that's how fucking green they were.
Wow.
And so
did you find out why?
Yeah, hepatitis, man. Hell of a disease.
Whoa.
Turns out. Yeah. So, I don't know what type of hepatitis. I'm assuming, like, the worst kind.
Right, not the...
The bad hep. It was that bad hep, you know.
Not the good hep.
Yeah, not the good hep, because there's, you know...
Not the, not the street food.
And then there's, like, what are you hep? And that's that kind of hep.
Huh. Like Pamela Anderson hep?
No, it's probably like, I'm assuming, I don't think they were necessarily a heroin addict, like, but it had to have been like blood. So I think C is the worst. I could be wrong. I haven't read hep and I don't know ever, thankfully, because I haven't had to. But so yeah, that was fucking weird. That was definitely the weirdest.
That's spooky.
Yeah. And then this next story, this won't take long, but so it was for a woman at the Jewish funeral home. And so in Jewish tradition, there's no open casket.
Hmm.
Which is funny because I did so much Jewish hair and makeup for no open casket. I don't know. I can't speak for all the Jews. I don't understand.
That's weird.
I want to get cremated, whatever. But so.
Do you think it might be like kind of a.
Their own
symbolic
wish.
Thing? Like they go into the afterlife looking good?
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I don't know. I just don't even know. I think most of the requests that I got were from the families. And I guarantee you the person like that was actually dead was just like, if they could intervene and be like, yo, like fucking fuck off. I just want to be dead.
Yeah.
They would, do that, you know? So yeah, everybody that's listening to this podcast, make sure that you're very specific in your will about how you want to be treated, because your family will take turns, and that's just how it is. So there was a lady that I was supposed to do her hair and makeup. And again, like I said earlier, with a Jewish death or funeral traditions, it has to happen very fast because there's no embalming. So they usually gave me like a 24-hour window, like, can you do this before, you know, the next day at whatever time? And I would always make it work because they were not far from me at all. So anyway, her sons were supposed to show up and have a moment with their mother, you know, at, I think it was like 7:30, right?
Yeah.
And like I said, it was like a thing. Like, I'm like, I don't want to fucking talk to the family. Like, I don't want to be that person. Like, y'all can be the messengers. And then I do what I'm told. That's it. I don't want to talk to family.
Yeah.
These fucking sons, okay, that are older than us. They were, so this was, I don't know, I was in my 20s. They were probably in their 40s, okay? Show up an hour late to their own fucking mother's, like, viewing, right? To, like, have their last, like, time with their mom. Which pissed me off at the time. Now I'm like, wow, like, yes, as a Jew, I don't believe in hell. But if I did, y'all are fucking going to hell. And because, you know, my mom passed away a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? And so anyway, so I show up at like 9:15, 9:30 thinking like, okay, they're definitely not there, you know, whatever. And I show up and one of the guys that's working there, like, yo, he like the brothers like just came here like 5 minutes ago. And I was like, oh, God damn. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to go to fucking Burger King, get a Coke or something, you know? I was like, I guess I'll go kill some time. And he had fucked up and told them that, like, I had shown up. Like, oh, the hairdresser just got here, but she can, you know, leave and come back. And they were like, no, we want to talk to her.
Uh-oh.
And so I was like, oh, God. And I was, like, in a hoodie. Like, with my hair up, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and I'm like about to like fuck with their mom. I'm like,
you're not in your heels, and
yeah, like, I'm not like, because I'm not mourning with them, you know. I'm like, I have a job, like, whatever. And so, you know, and I talk to them, I'm like, oh, so sorry for your loss, like, whatever. And and they're like, okay. And it, one is like just not really like talking, he's just, you know, kind of along or whatever. And then the other one's like, yeah, well, she really likes this lipstick. Because a lot of times they did have, like, specific makeup that they wanted me to use because that's what they used.
Yeah.
And that's totally fine. But they, like, one of the brothers was just kind of, like, talking a little too much about like how he wanted his mom to look. Like, I just wanted to be like, shut the fuck up, let me do my job. Like, your mom is not about to enter a beauty pageant, she's fucking dead, okay? Like, you know. But
so brutal.
I wasn't gonna say that. I know that is brutal, but like, I wasn't gonna say that. It's just what I was thinking. And this guy's like, he has hair like down to his shoulders. He's, I think he was like wearing like a, not mate, well, I think he was actually probably wearing like a Grateful Dead shirt. Like, I mean, he was like a fucking hippie, you know? So it's like, fucking fuck off, dude. Don't tell me what fucking color lipstick to put on your mom. Like, fuck off. Anyway, I am like talking to them and I'm just like, yes, of course. Like, I'll do whatever. And then that motherfucking brother hit on me. Whoa. Literally in front of his dead mother. In front of his dead mother.
Oh, that's weird.
Like, so. Yeah, because he was like, so, how'd you find this gig? And, like, I knew where it was going. Like, I just was like...
Are you sure? He wasn't just asking?
This is not... No, because, well, then he asked for my card, and he, like, I think he...
Card.
I think I even, like my business card for like where I actually cut hair at the time.
Yeah.
And then he like, I want to say like I even put my cell phone, because when you're, this is the thing, you're really like, there's a lot of pressure when you're, you know, next to somebody's dead mother and they're wanting your information to contact you. Like, you don't want any conflict. So you're just like, okay, yeah, I'm going to give you my cell phone number because I'm about to fuck with your dead mother and I just don't want you to lose your shit on me ever.
Oh.
But I don't, you know what I mean? Like, you're just kind of like, what the fuck do I do in this situation?
I guess maybe I don't think I understand, yeah. But
it was just like, I didn't want him to get like embarrassed if I like put up a boundary because literally his dead mom was right there. Like, cause I was like, cause I had to think about it in my head. I was like, well, if he tries to like contact me, I just won't respond. Like, I'm never going to see him again right after this. Like, I know that. He might not know that. I know that. Like, I am not fucking talking
about
this.
How funny would it be ever for you to have shut him down in front of his dead mom?
It, looking like now, if that would have happened now, I would have fucking called him out. I just would have been like,
yeah,
this is
inappropriate. Yeah,
so fucking inappropriate for a million reasons.
And now your mom, like, has to go into the afterlife knowing that you're a loser.
Yeah, like if your mom's eyeballs weren't super glued shut, she'd be rolling those motherfuckers. So get the fuck out of here. You know, it just, like, people were fucking crazy. People were crazy, Chris.
People, like, are and will always be crazy.
Yeah. But I'm telling you, somebody fucking dies and it takes it up like a million notches. Like, it's nuts, dude. It's fucking nuts.
I can only imagine.
I mean, people deserve to go out in dignity and look their best if that's what they want.
Oh yeah.
What killed me is the kids or the family that were just creating this weird shit that the person could give less of a fuck about. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, yeah, I know. I mean, I want to get put into a pod or something, or just burn, like, cremated. Yeah,
like, absolutely.
I don't want to get looked at, you know.
No,
I want my
funerals are crazy, they're expensive and all that. It's just, it's a lot of pressure, you know.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
funerals are
I know it is, and it's a racket because it's like, you're gonna pay it, you know.
I'm not.
No, same with me. I'm not either. I'm like, no.
No.
Don't waste all that money.
Yeah.
Like, no.
No. Maybe a Viking funeral. That'd be kind of cool.
That would be really cool. I think you deserve a Viking funeral, but you got to put it in your will because it won't happen. You know what? And it still might not happen even if you do put it in your will. That's the thing.
Right. Oh, okay. I was going to say, if I put it in my will, does that mean, like, guarantee that it's going to happen?
No, it's up to whoever is the executor of the will to make sure that it happens. But it's definitely not going to happen if it's not written. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah.
Because it's like their word against your, you know?
Right.
So whoever you have that's supposed to execute your will, they should be somebody that you trust is going to do your fucking will word for word.
Yeah.
So that's how that works. But yeah, I mean,
that's good to know.
But also it's probably illegal to do a Viking funeral. So just heads up.
Huh. I guess it'll have to be an illegal Viking funeral.
Yeah, but it'll cost the freedom of whoever decides to do it, because they'll get arrested so fast. Oh my god, so fast. It's trying to like put a body overboard or even at the shore. First of all, it'll wash back up on the shore like immediately. Even spreading ashes, you have to go so far away from the shore.
Yeah,
Like, you have to be like, yeah, there's so many fucking rules. And that's what sucks about like death and like post death with like a loved one is all the business side of it that you have to deal with.
Yeah.
Like, cause it dumbing it down, that's not the correct word, but like having to, you know, be like, okay, we just want to spread her ashes like along, you know, go on like this epic boat ride and just, you know, make it this like beautiful thing. Like, no, that's not how it works.
Yeah.
It's not like in the movie. Like it's such a shit
show. And like a gust of wind comes and like blows the ashes back in your face.
Oh man, let me tell you, when we spread my mom's ashes in Panama City Beach.
She wanted to spread in Panama City.
She didn't specify Panama City.
Okay.
But she, like, that was where we went, like, every spring break, like, all four of us kids. And so, and my brother was the executor. And so he was like, all right, we're doing PCB. And, like, I was like, yeah,
going to spring break.
All right. You know,
spring break.
Yeah. Yeah. Spring break. 98.
PCB. Spreading those ashes.
Yeah, exactly. Club La Vida. So we took this boat out, you know, and they took us to where it was legal to spread the ashes. And I went first because, like, I knew that some fucking bullshit was going to happen. And I knew that I was the one that could handle it because I was, like, the closest to my mom. And I was the only one that had even fucking lived with her up until she I wasn't with her when she died because I moved to Austin like 3 months before that. But I was the only one that like lived in that house. Like I was tight as fuck with her. And so, and I fucking knew some shit was going to happen, which is why I did. Well, I wanted to go first because, well, one, I'm her favorite. Yeah. Come on now. So I fucking went to spread the ashes. What did they do? They fucking flew right back in my face, all in my mouth, in my teeth.
Oh.
And I like, and it was funny, you know, because it like, it was kind of like an icebreaker. And like, because it was like, yeah, because we had, you know, like we had beers and shit. Like we're all drinking, like just kind of like, all right, here we are. We all hadn't been together.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we had to be together a bunch after she died, but like before then, it just didn't fucking happen. So it got all everywhere. And I just, you know, I just was like, all right, well, that's that. Who's next? You know? And we all just were like, all right, fuck yeah. Like, and so it was cool. It was like comic relief, yeah. You know? Because we were like, mom's laughing her ass off, just like, ha-ha, you fuckers.
Maybe right? She was that gust of wind. You
know? Yeah, exactly. It's just like, you can't take that shit too seriously, like, ever. You know, it's like, even something is, you know, ritualistic or whatever the fuck you want to call it, like spreading their ashes. It's like, shit happens. You know, this is real life. Like, the ashes sometimes just go back in your fucking nose and your esophagus and you just gotta fucking deal with it.
And now she's with you forever.
Damn right.
Get a little piece of her.
Yeah. For real. Yeah. So it's a trip. But yeah. That just like however you see when shit fucking flies back into your face, that's fucking serious. Like anybody that's ever thrown ashes in the sea and it not fucking go back in their face. I don't know. I want to know. Because I'm like, find me like an ocean that doesn't have wind on it.
Right.
Like, fuck. Right. It's not like the movies at all.
Yeah.
It's a fucking shit show. Yeah. Just be ready for the shit show. So and just embrace the fuck out of it.
So the lesson for this podcast can be make sure when you spread the ashes that you are standing downwind.
Yeah.
Or upwind. Upwind?
I don't know,
yeah,
man.
Upwind. There we go.
Wear goggles.
Wear goggles. A face mask.
Yeah. Laugh. Just laugh. If it's funny, fucking laugh. That's
But not with the wind blowing the ashes in your mouth.
Yeah, no. That's a different animal. But yeah, shit's fucking weird, man.
In that case, ashes. Keep your mouth closed.
Yeah, and the ashes are not like fine. I don't know. It's weird. Like it's not as like peaceful or like graceful as people imagine or like like the TV, and it's just not. It's like you get a fucking box of looks like fucking dirt, and it's not a consistent texture. Like it's just fucking weird.
It's like it's like the ash left over from a campfire kind of thing.
Yeah, like just it's just different.
Hmm.
You know, you can't lose. It's not like sand, you know. Huh. It's just there's some pieces that are bigger than others. It's very gritty, and
so it's like coarse grain coffee versus fine grain coffee.
Yeah, but some of it's fine and some of it's coarse. But it's like, you know, what do you want to look at when you look at the ashes of your loved one? Like, what's going to make you feel good? Nothing.
Yeah.
It looks like fucking gray dirt.
Yeah.
You know? So it's just, there's so much that, like, you don't realize until you just get thrown into it. And then that's that. You just make lemonade out of those fucking lemons. You know? You're just like, what am I going to do? Be mad that the ashes aren't pretty enough? No.
Mm.
Like, you know? So it's just another step.
Yeah.
And that's okay. It's not right. It's not wrong. It just,
it is what it is. And the part of the process.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought it'd be. I do think the idea of being made into a diamond from the ash is kind of cool.
Yeah, I think that's cool too. My brother, which I understood where he was coming from, because I was kind of like, can I keep, you know, like some of the ashes? And he was like, listen, I'm not fucking divvying up ashes. And I, you know, and I kind of had to like step back and be like, all right, like I get it. Like he has a lot on his plate with like having to deal with like the house and the finances. Like I get that he doesn't want to be like, okay, here's your tablespoon and here's your tablespoon and here's your tip. You know what I mean? Like, because it is weird. You know what I mean? Like, it's, you kind of have to, like, just try and, yeah, you kind of have to, like, be like, okay. Because, like, for me, I was like, I want to take mom to Burning Man.
Oh.
Like, that's what I thought. Like, and so I was wearing one of her mumus, because she loved her mumus. I was wearing one of her mumus when we spread her ashes. And so I decided to make it, like, an altar for her at Burning Man, because they have something called a temple, and it's where a lot of people will, you know, put up pictures or memorabilia of, you know, loved ones they lost. And it's kind of like it's a really, saying it's dark is not accurate, it's just, it's a really heavy thing for people at Burning Man. You know, it's a way to like kind of let go and accept, you know, like love. And so I like put up her mumu and like wrote a letter and like signed a brick and all this. And then on that Sunday after the man gets burned, they burn the temple, and it's a very like heavy experience for everybody. Like everybody's silent. Nobody's like celebrating, you know, we're all just kind of like reflecting. And so that was really powerful for me, because I knew those fucking ashes were all up in that mumu. So I was like, all right, I got her. Yeah, I got her. Yeah. She was burning me. It's fine. So yeah. But yeah, it's a fucking trip, man. It's a trip. Everything is trippy, bruh. Wait, can I plug my Instagram handle?
Of course.
Little Karen Big World. Follow me to see nothing but nonsense.
Ah, really? I haven't looked on your Instagram enough.
I mean, really, it's just bullshit. I don't post anything about hair because I don't care.